Why do you think we didn't see Jordan Mason touch the ball 20 plus times?
One of the things that happens sometimes,
especially with a lead.
Yeah, I haven't rewatched the game yet. I gotta rewatch. That's what I like.
I know
to
you
do.
Haven't. I know how it is. It's all right.
I was ready to yesterday, and then we got caught up with stuff at the house, and I didn't get a chance to because I wanted to see what was going on. I wanted
you rewatch the regular game, or do you watch the film?
The regular game. Okay. Yeah. I don't watch the all 22s necessarily, but you know, I'm thinking back to that game, and I feel like the possessions. This is what I deal with Kyle when I see him. Sometimes he knows that they're going to stack the box, they're going to put 8 in the box or whatever the case may be. And he believes, I think a lot of the times, you have to get those guys off the line of scrimmage. The way you do that is you back them up with the pass. And you establish that pass first. And then once you've softened it up a little bit, then you get back to running. You basically just keep them off balance. I think that's his philosophy a lot of the times. There are times like Sunday when I was like, hey, man, just run the ball. You know, I was watching somebody on Twitter. I think it was one of the shows. They had a backstage. They were showing a discussion they ran backstage. And I think it was like Acho or something like mm-hmm. that. And he was like, yeah, like the team gave up 260 yards the week before on the ground. Like, test their run defense before you say, hey, we need to change it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, test it.
He's talking about the Cardinals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, test it. See if it's just as bad as it was the week before,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to coming out and saying, oh, man, they're going to stack the box, so, you know, we gotta get them off of us a little bit. So that's one thing that I know Kyle does, and he's done traditionally, that sometimes I wish would be different. Sometimes it works perfectly. You know what I mean? So that's why you try not to be reactionary to the results, because nobody has a problem with that when it's working perfectly. When it doesn't work, that's when you second guess. But that's his philosophy a lot of the times.
Did the play calling change after the Moody injury? Or
yeah, well, in the red zone, when they got back down to the red zone, because from once again, I wasn't watching the broadcast, but I think I heard when Wisnowski said he was only good from, I think, inside the 20-yard line, maybe even closer.
Oh.
Maybe like inside the 15-yard line. So now, typically, you get the ball to the 30, you start thinking about, all right, I'm a worst-case scenario. You know, we got the field goal in our back pocket. Now it's like, man, we got to get all the way to like the 15 before we – so we got to start – we got to call plays and run this offense as if we're on our own 40 or something like that. Like – We need to spread the field or whatever you do at that point. So I think that played a factor a little bit. Wisnowski made one field goal. Another time they knew they couldn't kick it. And I think another time was the Jordan Mason fumble. So I think they only had 3 times when they were like around that area. And, you know, Moody wouldn't have, I don't think, would have put points on the boards on those times when they didn't put points on the board, except for the one time when they were on 4th and 23 or something like that.
The 49ers are converting just 40.9% of their red zone trips into touchdowns. That's that from Kyle Madsen over at NinersWire.com. Sad that Brandon Ayuk had a game like he did that everybody was calling for. Kyle predicted
it. He said it was going to have a big game. Kyle called that.
He was 100% right. Had a huge first half, 100 plus yards in the first half, 147 to wrap the game up. 8 receptions there, 12 targets for him, 12 targets for Kittle. But a lost cause, essentially, for Brandon Ayuk, a lot like what happened with Juwan Jennings versus the Rams. Of course, that was a career day for Juwan Jennings, but similar. You walk away with losses in both of those games. And that's tough because you had waited for this moment from Brandon Ayuk. Everybody had wanted it, and ultimately it's irrelevant.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and they're just not in sync. Like, I don't think it's a talent thing, obviously. I think these guys are as good as the players specifically. I think
0 second half points is tough.
Yeah, no, that's unacceptable with the level of talent that you have. But here's the other thing: like, you, people talk about Kyle Shanahan and all this other stuff. You turn the ball over 3 times in the second half, like that's a loss. That's a loss. Mm-hmm. You turn the ball over 3 times in the second half. You turn the ball over 3 times in a game, it's probably lost. But specifically, 3 times in the second half, yeah, you're probably not going to win that game. And play call and talent, all this other stuff, if you can't hold on to the football, chances go way, way down. You're probably going to lose that game. So I look at some of the stuff from Brock, and like I said, film is coming out, and he was doing a lot of scrambling and all this other stuff, and I don't know where to place the blame. I think it's a lot to do with everybody involved. Offensive line got to play a little bit better. While some of these guys on some plays are getting open, there's a number of different plays where there's no separation. Like, that's a real thing, and I know people want to dismiss that and be like, oh no, you know, these, that's not what it is. Brock's got to get rid of the ball. You know, there is separation. People talk about separation rate and yards per separation. All right, that's whatever. I'm telling you what I'm watching. I'm watching these people not open. Brock is stepping back, doing a 3-step, 5-step drop, ready to let go, and they're draped all over the place by defenders.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're not open. So then he's scrambling and all this other stuff, and it's becoming a mess. I don't want to necessarily put that on the players. I don't think those receivers are like half-assing routes or something like that. Like, I think they're trying to get open. Could be a situation where they're just incapable. We've seen this a couple of times with Ayuk Samuel. Like, they struggled in the Super Bowl to create separation on certain plays. So I don't want to necessarily say they got to get better, but that's something you got to look at. Maybe Kyle's got to do better. Like I said, in the red zone, he's got to do better maybe with some crossing routes, some drag routes, you know, understanding the tendencies of the other team and dial up some picks, you know what I mean? Some pick routes or something like that. Something, if these guys aren't consistently creating separation, you've got to do something to help your quarterback out and help your receivers out. And that's where that falls on him. But, I mean, Brock's got to be better too. There are times when Brock has to read the defense, get rid of the ball earlier, whatever. Like, he's got to be better at that. So that's why I always say, I hesitate saying one person. Like, yesterday the big conversation was, who was this loss on? Uh-huh. It's on the 49ers, the team. They didn't execute as a team.
Mm-hmm.
Quarterback wasn't great. Play calling wasn't great. Mm-hmm. Receivers weren't great. Offensive line weren't great. And then the one nobody really talks about, which is the Sunday was the biggest problem for me. Defensively, oh man, they couldn't stop a nosebleed in that second half. They could not stop it. I read this stat to Jesse yesterday. In the fourth quarter, the Cardinals ran 27 plays on offense.
Mm.
Three of those plays were third down plays.
Wow.
Only three were third down plays, third or fourth down. Everything else was first down, getting 7. Second down, got a first down. First down, getting 7. That's what it was. They could not stop. When Jordan Mason fumbled the ball, it wasn't like, oh, momentum, they're going to lose. I'm like, they can't stop them. They're going to lose because they can't stop them. The only hope was they could get the ball back with an opportunity to score, which they did, and they ended up turning the ball over. But that was the only hope. Like, I was like, they might run this clock out to 0.
Mm.
They can't stop them. And that was to me, one of the biggest concerns for this team on Sunday and moving forward.
You may not have thought he played too bad, but statistically, that was one of Brock Purdy's worst games of his career.
Mm.
From a QBR standpoint, from a completion
QBR
rate.
QBR was awful.
Yeah, he was just rough. Again, that loss against the Cardinals, at least at this point, in his very young career, will go down as one of his worst. Nick Wagner had a stat that from 2017 to 2023, the 49ers were 51-2 under Kyle Shanahan in the regular season when leading by double digits in the fourth quarter. They've already lost two such games this season, once against the Rams, once against the Cardinals. Of course, that's concerning for multiple reasons. Those are divisional opponents, one. Two, neither one of them are very good. You're not losing these leads to the Chiefs or the Ravens or to a big-time offense or to a big-time. You're not losing to Baker Mayfield out there who's, you know, running the Bucs scores up. You're out there losing to two teams that, you're probably better than, but that is probably a different question. How good are the San Francisco 49ers? And we'll talk about that. We'll get into the NBA as well. We got Kings basketball tomorrow night at the Golden 1 Center. Stealing with KC. Brought to you, TK at the top of the hour. TK called me a brand hoe. We'll talk about that. Talk about that.
And at some point, I get a couple minutes on Major League Baseball because it's
popping. We got that. We got that.
Dave Roberts out here looking, he looking a little silly.
That's all on the way. Stealing with KC here on ESPN 1320.
D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento sports leader on this Tuesday afternoon. And I think it's really hot today, right? Again, I think this might be the end.
You keep saying that. It's not.
No, I think I'm gonna make a proclamation right now. This is the last day over 90 of the year.
You checked the app today too?
Yeah, I think I checked it last night too. I think we've finally gotten there.
Bro, this is what
I'm not going to say it's going to be cold, but I think this is the last day over 90 of the year.
Next year, we're going to be talking about it. Oh, yeah, it'll be 80 this week, and it'll be November 3rd. That's what it is, bro.
Yeah, I think we finally made it to fall. Finally made it. It's only, what, 2 weeks late? Didn't fall start on the 22nd of September or something? It's like 2-3 weeks late. So we finally made it. We're here.
Bro, it's like 90-something right now.
I said this is the last day. It like literally
it's like 87 tomorrow. Okay, it cools. All right, I hope you're right. This is terrible. That plane yesterday that we got was so hot, it was miserable.
Why did they have the air on?
They did. It was awful. It was one of those planes that I think just flies back and forth between L.A. and Sacramento. Oh,
it's called
a private jet.
Yeah.
No, yeah, it's called a private jet. That's what I was trying to say. Like, what's this guy talking about? Like, yeah, it's called a private jet.
Commercial airlines will fly everywhere, Damien. But
what's this guy talking about, man? You hear this guy?
So this cool, guy? Bro.
I should have stayed home, man. Like everyone suggested.
That is crazy. He was on the PJ. That's crazy. No,
yeah, I was on the plane that just goes from point A to point B.
I said the plane flies back and forth. It's a Southwest flight. You guys are idiots. Collins is right. I should just get the brown truck. I was going to do the show from home today. I should have just done it.
Should have got the PJ.
You could have done the show on the PJ.
Facts. Now, let me know when you two are done.
They got Wi-Fi on there. I'm sure of it.
I'm sure you could put the little camera ready to stream and all that stuff.
Are you two finished?
I think.
We figured out what it was without you saying what it was. Like, oh, okay, it's a private jet.
No, it was not. It was a Southwest flight. Left at 4 o'clock and got me home at 5:30-ish.
They have a 4 a.m. flight?
It was p.m. Sorry. We flew back home. We flew back home yesterday afternoon. Chris Crick coming up at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. We'll get to the rest of the league. We'll get to the rest of the league here in just a minute. What's the biggest issue through 5 weeks for the San Francisco 49ers?
The defensive line. The defensive line for me, and that's the thing I was telling Jesse yesterday. With the 49ers, I look at it like this, right? There are things that they're struggling with right now that I'm confident they'll be better at. So some of the stuff on the offense, you talk about the play calling, you talk about taking care of the football, the red zone stuff, they'll get better. Remember a couple years ago when the Niners started off slow and I would come in here every week and I say, the issue is really simple. Like, because people are like, they're a bad team, they're bad. I was like, well, we don't know that yet because there's things that they can fix that we need to see them fixed before we determine whether they're good or not. I used to always say they need to stop having penalties on third down because they couldn't get off the field on third down, and they need to take care of the football. They were losing a turnover battle every time. And every time that would happen, they would lose the game. They ended up shoring up both of those things. They ended up getting off the field on third down. They ended up taking care of the football better throughout the season. Went on a run. I think that was the year. I think that was 2021 when they beat the Rams on the last game of the season. I look at the Niners this year, and I see offensively some of the same stuff. Take care of the football. Once again, not that Sunday was perfect or whatever the case may be, but if you don't turn the ball over three times, you win the game. They play calling and, you know, and all this other stuff, that's still an issue or whatever the case may be. But when you talk about just winning a game, you don't turn the ball over three times in the second half, you win the football game. So take care of the football. You'll be good. I think the red zone gets better. They'll be good there. The thing that is concerning, though, that I do not believe they can get better at is on that defensive line and being able to stop the run with just the defensive line like they've done in the past. They're going to have to get creative. They're going to have to start bringing extra people up to the line, using a little bit more pressure and creating a little bit more pressure. Because up front, I don't think that gets better this year. I think that's kind of who they are, and that is their issue this year, is a weak defensive line and not being able to get pressure and stop the run with four. And, yeah, I don't think that improves this year. So that's my biggest concern because I don't think that gets better.
Okay.
You can mask it a little bit. You can find different ways to compensate for not being as good on the defensive line. But who knows if that works, number one. And number two, it's not going to change the weakness that you have on that defensive line.
The idea that Dre Greenlaw is going to fix everything is a little bit concerning.
Nah, hell no. I'm not expecting. I'm barely expecting him to play this year. But when he does,
right? That's the other thing. Yeah, he's back super late into the season.
But yeah, when he does play, not only is he back super late into the season, but the man just tore his Achilles. I'm barely expecting him to be able to walk out there on the field, let alone hey, come save us.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like Dre Greenlaw and Christian McCaffrey. I'm not expecting. Me personally, I'm not expecting anything from them this year. Nothing. Whatever you get from them is a bonus. That's the way I'm approaching this season. Maybe I'm compartmentalizing this situation a little bit or being super, super cautious about it. But those two, I'm not looking for them to come in and save this season. These guys that are here right now, they're going to have to save themselves.
Okay. I'm with you. There was a report this morning. it's kind of funny because it does tie to the San Francisco 49ers a little bit because it might be their fault that the Browns have started. I don't want to say they've started trade conversations, but they've started, I guess, entertaining trade conversations involving Amari Cooper. We believe this all started because the Browns were like, yeah, we'll trade Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk. What's the problem? And the trade proposal was out there. This does nothing for San Francisco, does it?
If
they went and got Amari Cooper right now.
No, I think they've got enough on the offensive. I know I had fun about a week ago with the whole thought of Devontae Adams and all this other stuff. But wide receiver isn't their problem. And they've got another guy potentially coming back. We don't know how good he is because he's a rookie, but you got a Ricky Pearsall that is hopefully coming back relatively soon. So I don't think wide receiver is.
Did they open his window? I saw that they were.
They did not. That's
what I thought.
Unless they did it this morning.
I don't think they did.
Yesterday they hadn't opened his window yet. So.
I don't think they did.
Wide receiver. You don't really need it.
I don't know about defensively, but offensively, the 49ers, I feel like, have everything they need to fix their problems. It's just a matter of, they got to do it themselves. Mark Cooper or whoever, that's not going to fix it.
They got to do it themselves. They got to execute. The two areas of need for them is on the defensive line and a linebacker alongside Fred Warner.
Fred Warner.
Because DeAndre Campbell It's just that hasn't been a good fit. Yeah, that's what they need. I think the secondary's been fine. Hufanga had some tough moments on Sunday, and he got hurt again.
It's probably tough for him. He's probably trying to get back into the flow of things right now. That was his, what, second game, third game?
Second or third game, yeah. And he keeps getting hurt now. So that's something that you got to deal with. But the secondary, I mean, Diamond Lenore's been fantastic. Traverius Ward has not been as good as he was the last 2 years. But he's still a good DB. I don't look at him as anything different than that. So the two real issues for me with them are on that defensive line, where you're missing Armstead a little bit and you're missing Hargrave as well. And that other linebacker spot, which would be Dre Greenlaw. So that if they can upgrade on those spots, that's where I'd be, you know, putting my focus in if I was the 49ers. Receiver, I think they're okay. I think they're fine there.
Shout out to the Cleveland Browns for mismanaging a really talented roster. That's a talented roster. But they stink.
They got talent.
They stink.
They just don't have a quarterback.
Nope.
Yeah, it turned out they were still the Browns as far as how they run things organizational-wise and all that. They're always going to be dysfunctional.
So hindsight is 20/20. The type of contract seems a little outrageous. It's not crazy. It's not crazy that they went after Deshaun Watson. Like the whole fully guaranteed 260 or whatever.
No.
Like it's not crazy.
No one could have pictured this fall off as crazy.
Right.
Like it is so dramatic. Mm-hmm. No, it's
the a natural idea. Like fall off talent wise, and then he wrecks his shoulder too, and now he's just really
the idea of Deshaun Watson at that time and trading for him is not crazy. Mm-hmm. You can talk about the contract like all you want to, but the fact is, this is probably one of the worst trades in NFL history.
No, you're not lying. I chuckled because I saw Stephen A. yesterday, and it was such a simple line. It was actually pretty funny because somebody's like, this may be the funniest thing I've ever heard Stephen A. Smith say. Stephen A. goes, Deshaun Watson is absolutely awful.
Well,
he's so awful that if they arrested him for being awful, I wouldn't even complain.
Okay, Stephen A., relax a little bit. You didn't have to do all that. Just say that the man was bad. Say that the man is bad.
They arrested him for being awful.
That's ridiculous.
How you gonna get arrested for being awful? It's one of those things. It's so stupid and so ridiculous. It was funny.
And the great thing is, I could hear, and I wouldn't even be mad. I can hear it. I can hear the delivery. I wouldn't even be mad if they arrested him.
All right. But yeah, no, it's
he's bad though. Like he's that bad. And no, like you're right. Like you can't fault the Browns for doing it, but especially at that time. But right now, I mean, it looks like one of the worst deals in history.
And
of the worst trades in history.
And what you can fault the Browns for though is the fact that they're stuck with him. Like, you didn't have to.
Well, they
do
made
that.
It worse.
Yeah.
They made it worse this year.
You didn't have to do all that you did to get this. Well, maybe you did, but I feel like you really, really outbid everybody else. Like, it didn't feel like you had to go that far.
That's a good question. That wasn't a question, it was a statement. That would be a good question. It's like, what did the market look like? Did Deshaun want to go to Cleveland? What other team was in the run? Because Cleveland's measure of making the contract fully guaranteed felt like, this isn't hindsight at all, it felt like a desperate moment for them. Like, we feel like we're an elite quarterback away. And make no mistake about it, at the time, Deshaun was elite. Mm-hmm. And they missed.
He missed. And I saw somebody on like Cleveland radio or whatever was talking about I didn't really watch the whole segment, but I think they were trying to make the argument they should have just kept Flacco. Do you think that was reasonable?
The Browns should have kept Flacco.
They're like, you messed it up because you got this guy that you got to guarantee all this money to. You. So what? Like,
well, they should have kept Baker.
I mean, yeah, Baker's playing great right now, but he was gone. They got Deshaun Flacco. They were one of the best teams in football last year, and he's still playing football.
Okay,
they're saying like you should have just kept him. He was a free agent.
Yeah, no, they should have. But what are you going to do? Bench Deshaun?
Yeah,
you can't get out of this. Sometimes, you're stuck.
Sometimes, like I know, like we have these discussions, all three of us. Like sometimes, like oh, you can't bench him because he makes such and such money. No, sometimes you just need to. Like sometimes, if the backup is better, I don't care how much the guy is making. The guy who's making all the money is terrible. He's no good. So you can justify and say like we're going to start him because he's making all this money and just suck. Or you can go with the guy that's better and bench the guy that's making a lot of money. And I think that's what they were faced with. And I think the radio host's argument was you didn't keep Flacco because you had this guy that you were paying all this money to. You should have just kept him, sucked it up, and benched Deshaun Watson and kept Flacco playing.
Joe Flacco makes $4.5 million this
year. Oh, my God. God, yeah, that's a fail. I didn't know he's making that little money.
I don't know that that's that little.
4.5
He's a backup quarterback.
He would have been your starter. Yeah, I would have. Yeah, I understand the frustration. I would have kept Flacco.
Hang on, let me look at something real quick because let me look back at last year. Oh, yeah, I'm not going to be able to do this quickly, apparently, because
by the way, opening night, quotation marks, in the NHL going on as we speak.
What?
The Kraken are playing right now on opening night.
Feels like the hockey season is always going on.
Why would you do that at 1:30?
I don't know.
Joe Flacco played... Looks like 7 games that last year with Cleveland.
Mm.
5 as the starter.
Because they were what, 5-1 when Deshaun got hurt? I think they were 5-1 or something like that.
Would you? Yeah, you would trust Joe Flacco to run a 17-game season for you?
I wasn't as close to the Browns situation. Looking at it from the outside, looking in, I would have my concerns, but there's a good number of people there who felt like he was good enough last year. And if you feel like he was a big reason for you guys getting in the playoffs and keeping the season going, yeah, I would.
Hmm.
The other thing about that, though, I'll give the flip side, RIP, flip side, is Deshaun was 5-1 before he got hurt last year. And I think you do have to bring him back and see what he has.
Well, for the record, I don't think Flacco was the quarterback of the Browns last year. Flacco was the quarterback of the Browns 2 years ago.
No, he was there last year because the Texans beat him in the playoffs. Texans beat the Browns in the playoffs.
Okay.
Flacco.
Oh, that's right. I'm like, why does he have stats this year? Because Richardson got hurt. That's why. I was like, no,
he's starting.
This is wrong. He's sitting on the bench. Like he's playing the quarterback again. That's right.
So I Deshaun, I believe, I keep saying it, but I could find out. I think they were 5-1 when he got hurt.
No, I think that's right. I'm going to pull up Deshaun Watson's stats, though, from that time.
And I don't think he was that good either.
That's the other part. I think he had one good game in that stretch. That's this year. Give me 1 second. Let me go back to last year, 2023. Deshaun was, in fact, 5-1.
So the thought would be, I mean, you got to see it. I understand. If somebody has that school of thought, like, I got to see it. I got to see what
Deshaun has. He wasn't great, but he wasn't bad. 7 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, 1,100 yards in those. I mean, he's fine.
Mm. And to be fair to the situation, he wasn't this. It wasn't like
he looked like this,
and you're like, yeah, they're still 5-1, so let's struggle. No, he wasn't this. He was a functional quarterback. Right now, he
stinks.
He's done. He's
terrible.
He's finished. There is. I seen Cam Newton, you know, after the shoulder surgery.
Yeah, ain't no never the same again. This. I don't think so. Andrew Luck said, "F it, I'm out."
Yeah,
he was like, "Y'all ain't gonna see me as that quarterback again."
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know what you do. Two things. One thing I want to say, we talked about. You heard a little bit of it. Not on the handoff, but when we were coming in here, I was talking to Kyle or whatever. Lamar Jackson is him.
Mm-hmm.
He is him. I didn't get a chance to watch a lot of the football on the way to the game, and then like you pointed out, Niners lost. What you think I'm watching game day final after? No, I'm not.
No.
So yesterday, last night, I went back and, you know, I had 24 hours and I like to go back and watch some of the games. And I watched that Ravens-Bengals game. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
I was able to catch the end of that live.
Lamar, the play, we all know what it is, where he invades the stack, stiff arms the guy, finds Lively. Lamar is him.
Yep.
Lamar is him.
Did Jesse dance on the Bengals' grave yesterday? Did
I miss? A little bit. Okay. I mean, I wouldn't say it was a dance. It was more of a two-step.
Oh, a little snap of the finger. Okay.
Yeah, that's all it was. Yeah, toe tap. You know what I mean? Tapping his toe, you know. He did that. It wasn't a complete dance on there. But
it's wild that you have a quarterback who was like 30 of 40 or 30 of 39 or something, five touchdown passes, and lost.
He was really good, too.
Yeah,
the Bengals were really good in that game, like going back and watching.
But it doesn't matter.
They were in a position where at 1-4 at the time? 1-3?
1-3 at the time.
1-3, there's no room for error.
Mm-mm.
You had to win. You had to find a way to win that game, and it was right there for him. I thought the coach played a little too conservative there in that overtime period when they got the fumble.
Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach?
He played a little too conservative. He should have let Burrow throw and try and get a first down and get a little closer. He didn't, and it was over at that point, man. So, yeah, Lamar is him. That's my one thought. And I asked Jesse yesterday, do you think Russell Wilson should start if he's healthy?
Yeah, so that's a great question because it's been that's a tough loss to the Cowboys, first of all. But it's also what exactly are the Steelers? I think that was the question when they were 3-0 and have lost their last two, if memory serves. And it's like, are they winning because of Justin Fields? Probably not. Are they winning in spite of Justin Fields? Probably not. It's probably something right in the middle. Is Russell Wilson going to offer you something better? My opinion is probably not.
I think he is.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of plays on Sunday. Now, there's things I think that Justin Fields can do that Russell can't do at this point in his career. But I saw guys beating Cowboys defenders, and all you've got to do is put a little air under it and let them run under it. And Justin Fields just can't do that. He just throws a rifle every time.
Yeah, he does.
And I think Russell Wilson could do that. I think that's the one thing he still might be able to do. Like, get that ball up in the air and have that. I don't know if he can do the short intermediate stuff anymore, but he's always been able to throw a good deep ball. And it seems like those guys are winning some of these matchups and they need somebody to deliver it. I think it's not a lot. Like, I'm not going to say he's going to turn into all-pro Russell Wilson, but I think he can give you a little bit more than Justin Fields is giving you at this point.
I think what it boils down to, though, like, I get you feel like Justin Fields, he's not making enough plays. He's not putting his receivers in the best position. But are his receivers really that good?
I don't know.
Sorry, Jesse.
George Pickens is. He's not like the top five or anything like that, but George Pickens is good enough.
George Pickens is good. Did you see some of these 22s be coming out here?
Yeah, I saw that.
Looking at it a little bit. Like,
they're not even running away from him every play, though, it looks like, too.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Maybe that's where you need. Maybe that's where you need Russell Wilson, then, a guy who can kind of survey the land a little bit better than Justin Fields might.
Yeah, because on those all 22 plays too that you're talking about, like the plays going to the right, George Pickens is running like an out route or something to the corner on the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Fields isn't a good quarterback, is he?
Probably not.
I don't mean to joke about the. It's too early to tell. I really believe that. I really believe that. I he's not good right now. He's not ready right now. But there's.
I feel like he is. Maybe he's not a good quarterback. I still can't let go of the fact that I think he's going to be one.
It could be. But I'm like this year is kind of
based on vibes and vibes alone.
This year has kind of opened my eyes to some of this stuff, man, and I'm a little bit more hesitant to say somebody's good or bad at this point in their career because you see guys like Sam Darnold. You see guys in the last couple of years like Geno Smith, you know, who had some time.
Baker.
You know, Baker for sure, had some time to develop and learn the game, got in different situations, and are excelling. And sometimes it never happens, but we've got clear examples now that it can happen. Can happen with some of these guys. So Justin has a lot of talent. We'll see. Right now, I don't think he's a quarterback that can like lead you to the playoffs right now. So
okay. Trista Crick's gonna join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Much more ahead. It's D'Lo and Casey, brought to you by Sky River Casino. Oh, well, while we're here, we might as well talk about the Raiders real quick.
Oh man.
Stephen with KC on ESPN 1320. Let's get straight to the Elk Grove Kid Talk line. TK, Trista Crick, who's talking crazy about me on IG, is going to join us coming up here at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Manny, what's going on, my man?
Hey, so I just wanted to say something about Justin Fields. So I think you definitely have to stick with him for now unless something spirals just because of with all the stuff that went on with the Bears and the bad habits he got over there. I know he's erratic at times and his passes can be off. But if you're really going to evaluate the kid and see whether or not he's the future there, you got to stick with him and let him unlearn some of the bad habits he got and hopefully get a little bit more accurate with his throws and see what you really got there because the talent is definitely there, both feet and arm. And I just think that's not – don't go to the past with a guy that's not going to be a starter that much longer, even if you put him in. Like, this is the guy that potentially might be your future. You got to stick with him for now and see what you got. And if you want to hear more riveting talk like that, check in tomorrow night at 8 p.m., the Chatty House After Party. Mm-hmm. Special guest Will Z coming in to give us some numbers. See you guys tomorrow.
I like that.
Very
like
well that. Done.
Good stuff.
Very well done.
Now, I disagree with Manny a little bit because you're not in, if you're the Steelers, you're not in no evaluation period. Like you're trying to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You got a Super Bowl defense. And what you need is somebody, a game manager, somebody can get you, you know, the points that are there to get, they don't miss them. And I don't know if Russell Wilson is that guy or not, but I know you're not, this ain't no evaluation period right now. Like, you need, you want winners.
Not the team. Yeah, thank you, Mike. Not the team, not the coach, mm-hmm. not the organization for that. He needed to come in and be good. He came in and he was good enough. Mm-hmm. But after, and this was always going to be the case with Justin Fields, whether it's fair or not, when they were 3-0, it's fine. But when you lose a couple of games, it's going to immediately be like, well, Russell Wilson is there. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with having Russell Wilson there. Because he's there, it's, well, you just said it. You got a Super Bowl caliber defense. Well, try that.
Yeah.
It's the dangers of having a quarterback the likes of Russell Wilson sitting there on that bench.
Because the thing about it is, even when they were 3-0, the offense wasn't good. So It's almost one of those things where it's like, yeah, as long as we're winning, we'll keep it going with you performing this way. But if you're not, we gotta move on. We gotta try something different. And now they're at a point where they're not. And it feels like the offense is kind of holding them back a little bit. Mm-hmm. So yeah, change may need to be made. Who do they play this week? Are they playing this week? Oh, wow. Well.
Who is it?
They're in Las Vegas.
Well, okay. Well, all right. Goddamn, pal. First off, before we get to Vegas and Antonio Pierce, Talano Funga, you mentioned his injury earlier. He has torn ligaments in his wrist.
Oof.
Torn ligaments in his wrists. Ooh. And according to Kyle Shanahan, he's expected to be out a month or so.
Wow. Get well soon, man. Just, man, terrible 12 months for him.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. That is tough. You mentioned Las Vegas. They suck. I don't know what to say. That was awful. That performance was awful. And it feels like Antonio Pierce and this is like spiraling out of control quickly. And Davante Adams' agents were working really hard over the weekend to make sure that Schefter reported, hey, he's working his way back. He'll be okay. He's going to be back soon. That had nothing to do with the Raiders. It had nothing to do with Davante Adams. It had everything to do with teams who want to acquire Davante Adams in a trade. And that's what that move was. Salute to Devontae's agents. That's what that was all about. This feels like it has spiraled out of control. And they got their ass whooped. They got whooped.
By Bo Nix and the Broncos, who are now sneaky 3-2. But, yeah. Yeah, that was awful. I mean, we talked about it yesterday, myself and Jesse.
Mm-hmm.
We just kind of wondered, man. Like, AP, it's
it was a fun little story.
Yeah. It's looking a little bleak right now. I don't know if he's – well, I asked the question, and Jesse says he'll get through this, but I was like, does he get through the season?
Yeah, I think he gets through the season.
It's bad right now.
Whether I make it through the season at this point is becoming highly questionable.
It's bad right now with AP.
Yeah, like, it's not good.
It's not even like they're not winning games. It feels like there's a segment of the locker room that might have given up on him. When I see what happened in that Panthers game, when I hear about what he had to say after that game, where he walked it back, but it's like toothpaste. You can't put it back in the, like, you, it was, it's there.
Has anyone tried? Everyone's so certain you can't put it back.
It's a good point. I wonder how you.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain you can't.
Yeah, I think you might be able to, but that's another
try story. It when you get home.
But you got that. You got the meeting the players were talking about, I think, after that, where they were like, yeah, we had a meeting. It got kind of personal, got kind of rocky, but, you know, we're good now. It's like, really, that's what we're doing? Davante Adams situation. It's starting to stack up. And then you get to the point where you get beat up by a Denver Broncos team. And, yeah, it's just I'm rooting for him. I like Antonio Pierce. I want him to work. But it's pointing towards not working, and if it keeps going like this, yeah. I don't know how you can keep him the entire year. We're only in week six.
Man.
Think about everything I just said. It's only week six.
I mean, what are you going to fire him for during the season for?
Because this is bad right now.
It'll be bad, too, when he's gone, though.
Yeah, it'll be.
But at least you'll just be bad as just a bad team. This looks like a mess.
Yeah, but you – is it – He's got to, I don't know that he has his feet under him. And this is what we were talking about, like, during the, don't compound a mistake that you made a year prior or 2 years prior by making another mistake. Like, I don't know if AP was their guy. I don't know if no one else was interested in the Raiders job. I don't know what it was. But this, you had to know if you're Mark Davis, you had to have known you were going to face some sort of hiccups with Antonio Pierce. Maybe you didn't expect this, but you had to expect there were going to be hiccups along the way for, like, a true first-time head coach. not just in the league, but like, period. This is a true first time head coach.
It's probably what you get for listening to your players too, to be honest. Max Crosby's talking about, oh, I don't want to be here if they AP's not here, and now it's already blown up in your face.
I say it all the time. Keep your mouth shut if you're a player. Keep your mouth shut. Because now what's Max Crosby look like if you're just going to keep riding with AP? You keep losing?
Yeah.
I don't think they're losing solely because of Antonio Pierce. I think they're losing because their offense is terrible. We said this repeatedly before Antonio Pierce and after Antonio Pierce. They do not have a quarterback. And they don't have any offensive weapons that don't require someone else getting them the ball. That's not Antonio Pierce's fault. All of the other stuff that you just laid out, I feel like you can get through that.
This would have looked a
they
lot.
They can't get through Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell, in my opinion.
This would have looked a lot different too if they drafted a quarterback this season. I don't think it would have been all this bad, but the fact that it's Gardner Minshew and it's kind of like, all right, well, he was supposed to be the guy for at least this season or whatever till next year you get a quarterback. Like, I think you're going through Ricky Pans with someone else or whatever. That's different.
The thing that I say and that concerns me, I'm not advocating for his firing, but it concerns me because I don't know how you get past this is. And maybe B-Lo and JC up in Boston are different, but good are show. The Patriots just look like a bad team, right? Mm-hmm. They don't look like a mess.
Correct.
And that's the difference. That's what he does have control over.
So
that's the thing that concerns. They just
I got you. Yeah. Is it are they a mess? Is the Davante Adams thing maybe looking at making it look like a little bigger than it really is?
Well, you got two Balls? Things. You got two things.
Okay. Just cover my bases. That was kind of a weird sentence.
Where's the ref? Were you just turning a blind eye? What are you doing around here?
I'm thinking about what he just said. Like, no, it's not just Davante Adams, though, because wasn't it Jack Jones or whatever they had an issue with?
Well, Jack Jones, that was the business decision.
Yeah, so it's not just a one thing, one off
what
thing.
What he said, then what the players are talking about, the player only.
I understand. I understand, but is the Davante Adams thing making it bigger? Because the Jack, that's not, no one cares.
Well,
Raider fans do,
The Davante Adams thing is just, it's all just the cherry on top. The Raiders are dysfunctional. Yeah. Antonio Pierce does not have
control at
all. I don't
feel like that's the cherry. I feel like that's the whole damn Sunday.
He's adding to the dysfunction.
Yeah.
With Instagram likes, with not talking to Davante and all this other stuff.
We don't know that he liked that. He just wouldn't answer the damn question.
So that's my concern. Like, you can not have talent and just think like the Patriots, and nobody's looking at Jerod Mayo and saying it's just dysfunctional. Mm-hmm. The Raiders look dysfunctional now. Me saying it's week five, you still got time to figure this out. If you're AP, like you said earlier, trying to find his footing, and you got time to just calm the waters. Figure it out. Maybe it's as simple as trading Davante Adams, you know, and you get that type of energy out of your locker room, and now you can proceed and do the things that you need to do. But more than just like the play on the field, I need to see the dysfunction go away.
Mm.
You can kind of keep losing games and just kind of be a normal team that's trying to figure themselves out and figure out as a franchise, and I can deal with that. We can't have you in the storylines week after week.
Hmm.